A lot of people can make a video. You know how to make social media. You can do that yourself. But with strategy, it's like, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this? Is this going to lead to success?
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to tell you how the talent industry really works. As part of our recent trip to Los Angeles, we caught up with Melanie Cherry. Melanie is Associate Director of Undergraduate PR Studies at the University of Southern California. I started by asking her to explain what her job is.
I am a professor at the University of Southern California. I've been teaching full-time probably about 4 years now, and I teach in the public relations and advertising program.
And this might sound like a strange question, particularly since I have worked in communications, so hopefully I do know a little bit of the answer, but for the sake of the listeners, why is that even important? Surely we can all just communicate, and if you go into an academic subject, you can jump into marketing, advertising. Like, why do people need to go and study that?
And that's a good question. I mean, some people might be thinking that as well too. I can understand that, but I think it's really, you know, there are actually a lot of techniques and skills and things that you have to learn. And I think the industry as a whole right now has changed so much. It used to be a lot was just media relations. And so that's talking to the press and having this person who can communicate for you to the press or tell you what you need to do. But now as communicators, you have to be able to do everything. You have to be able to do social media. You have to be able to, again, talk to the press. You have to like develop brands, and it's in those worlds between advertising and PR used to be very separate. They're sort of starting to merge a little bit more together, getting those skills, that doesn't come instinctually. And I think as well too, in addition to like just skills of editing and whatnot, but as well it's strategy. That's the harder thing that I think most people can't do. A lot of people can make a video. You know how to make social media. You can do that yourself. But with strategy, it's like, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this? Is this going to lead to success? And understanding that and all those little key factors is what makes you become a successful whatever end product, a successful brand, anything else that happens at the end.
It's interesting that you mentioned social media. Have you seen more people be interested and understand the value of studying communications, how to edit pieces, how to strategize around content since social media has become a thing?
I think so, but you know, I think a lot of people think, especially because anyone can do social media, that like any of us at home, we just take on our phone, we can make a video. They think that they know what they're doing and what it can end up being. So I think a lot of people think, oh, I know how to do it, I don't need to study it. But really understanding the nuance of it, understanding again too, we do a lot about looking at the statistics and looking at, you know, analyzing what's going on when you do a post for certain things. It's like knowing what time of the day is the best time to do it, when people want to hear a message, but also understanding overall what's happening in the world, because to know like timing, as you know, like sometimes it's like, you know, if there's an event that happens in the world, like potentially a bombing at a race, you might not want to, you know, come out with a product that is talking about, you know, explosions or whatever. Yeah. So understanding those things too, to really, you know, make you a well-rounded person, is a well-rounded professional in that space, is like, it's really important. I feel like a lot of people may miss that. They just think it's like, oh, I can just sit at home and just make videos and, you know, become successful. There are those unique exceptions that can do that, but for the most part, you know, that's not the case. And for a brand, there's so much more behind it. And a brand, if it's a person, if it's a product, like, you can't just do things like without a plan, with a strategic plan. You can't just be willy-nilly. You have to actually really think about what you're doing and be intentional in order for it to be successful. And as a result, it's like, if it's successful, then that gives justification for the money that a company is spending with you, because that's the, you know, at the end of the day, everyone has to make they have to make a profit. If I'm an athlete, I want to make sure that the money I'm paying someone to do is actually going to, you know, return to me. If I'm a brand, I have to make sure, again, that, like, why do we have this whole team of people if I'm not making a profit off of it?
If you're a young person who wants to have a career in the public eye, where social media is not your primary outlet, so let's put influencers to one side, because they probably need to understand content, but say I want to be in the entertainment industry, an actor, a presenter, whatever, or I want to be an athlete, but I understand these channels are important. Do I need to understand how they work? Or if I'm earning enough money, can I just like hire someone else and hand it over?
I think it's critical now. I think it's the main thing. And it's really great, because before publicists and people were the person who would be the intermediary between the person, the brand, and what was going on in the public. But now it's like they can directly talk to the public. So you do have to understand it and really understand the nuance of it and the dynamic. But you also understand, like, you as a brand, what is this brand? And so how do I communicate that so that you're consistent, that you're on message, and so that you're not just creating things that there's no through line with it, that people can follow along with you. And that is what can actually build your fan base, and building a fan base equals building sponsorship, building dollars, people being interested in you financially and giving more opportunities to you.
What advice do you give to anyone when you're talking to them about building your personal brand? Where does somebody start?
There's a lot of places to start, but there's, I mean, that's the core of everything. And I think, like, looking at you for something, especially like for athletes or entertainers, it can be overwhelming because you think, well, what is my brand? Like, where do I start? How am I any different? And it's really just being authentic. And I'm not saying this whole, like, you know, be your authentic self and blah, 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 but really think about what do I like and what makes me different? And so trying to figure out what's the place that you can be in this whole world here. And so it could be multiple things, but you also have to think about what, if I'm going to stand on these four things that I'm interested in, is that, can I carry that out for a long time? Because your brand is for a very long time. So how do I make stories that are genuine to me, that I'm really, people can tell if you're genuinely interested and excited about something or not. And I think most people think, oh, they just want, like, they think about big brands, obviously, like a Nike, a Puma, Adidas, they want to get those type of sponsorships if you're an athlete. But you have to look beyond that. And there's other areas, there's other smaller things that you could be looking at. Like, there's a whole bunch of level of equipment that need people to help with them as well too. And also thinking about, like, well, what is it that I like? What makes me different? And the whole, you know, the wider scope. If you're into, like, nutrition, if you're into, you know, rehab, if you're into stretching, there's a lot of people who have these little niches, and they get such a following because people are interested in those other areas. And I think the big part is really, like, what is the service that I'm going to provide to the world, the audience, you know, and then where is my credibility in that as well too. And it doesn't always have to be just the sport. Like, we can think about that American rugby player, Elena Mar, and great athlete, and she has a lot of credibility, but really where she's going with her as a brand is body image and female empowerment. So it's not quite exactly sport, it's sort of off mm-hmm. of that. Yes, there's sport there, and that's a little bit of the through line, but she's really doing a different, going in a different direction. I've seen a lot of other, like, former athletes who are now into nutrition, and so that's what they're talking about. And so as someone who's a user, I'm coming back to those channels because, oh, I want to see what recipes are they doing, what are these tips, what is it that I'm giving people. So someone, for her, she might just be giving, it might be motivation, but for other people it might be, like, actual, like, tangible mm-hmm. tangible tips. And there's another athlete, I forget the young man's name, but he's in the US we have D1, D2, and D3 athletes. So he's D3, so it's not even a top level athlete, but he's on the basketball team at some small school, and he just started filming his rehab videos about, these are things I can do for prevention. And now he has, like, you know, this huge following because there's people who want to know that type of stuff, you know. So there is an audience there, and I think that's the key too, following up on that, is, like, you have to know who your audience is, you know, like, okay, here's my brand, but then who wants to see that, and who's, you know. So I think it's establishing your brand, establishing what's your credibility in this space, and then who wants to hear this.
Honestly, I think this is brilliant advice. I wish that I had this advice about 15 years ago, and right. I could have skipped the first 5 years of my career. One of the things I wanted to ask about, though, is that in Olympic sport, yeah. you get quite a few people who are still minors,
yeah.
you know, particularly in sports like gymnastics, diving. And then also over here in the US, more than in the UK, there can be a lot of attention on high school sports, yes. and definitely on college sports.
Yeah.
For young people, we've all been there. There can be a lot of, like, oh, putting myself out there can be really cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the bigger audience or the commercial audience. It's about my 50 friends.
Yes.
And what are they going to say about me putting this stuff out there?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
you have to. That's part of it. That's putting it is getting into the game, you know. And I think in the U.S., if you look at a little bit of the model of the NIL model that is really big here for college sports, you can see athletes who again are playing, who are track athletes, like a shot putter, you know, or someone who's doing a discus that people don't know, and see how they are putting themselves out there. But again, doing it in an authentic way. But you know, I was recently listening to a podcast and I've heard this from other really big podcasters, Jay Shetty and Mel Robbins, and they have, you know, millions of people who are following them. And they said that they always get asked, how do I build my brand? How do I get popular? And they just say, you have to create content and put it out there. And the number one thing, so it's not just high schoolers, kids and college kids. And they're saying, these are adults who are saying the same thing. Well, I don't want to put myself out there and say something stupid. I don't want to say something, you know, or just look silly doing it. But there's no other way. You have to do it. And like, if you do it, you will get the return if you're being authentic. And also you have to be okay possibly making mistakes. And the good news is you can pull it off of the internet like really quickly, or you can delete that post really quickly or delete that reel. But you have to try and you have to get out there. Finding your voice, finding who you are, then I think you will feel better about what you are doing out there. But I also think sometimes the best stuff is things you're not overly thinking about. You know, just put it out there. What's interesting, you know, like what's interesting to you? What do you have to comment on? You know, yeah, I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. But but you have to actually do it. You're not going to get popular without doing that kind of work.
So NIL is name, image, likeness. And I think that is kind of crazy as a concept, because as a young person, suddenly you're really focused on your brand. It's not even this concept someone's talking to you about. It's there to be monetized. It's an opportunity. You don't want to miss it. And you're kind of saying, oh, play about with it, relax into it, be your authentic self. But it's an enormous amount of pressure. Where do you get sound advice from?
Oh, there is definitely a lot online that you can see with that. And I think developing a team around yourself, you know, and having the people who you know who can help you. So it might be you know, peers and family, but sometimes family don't only know what they know. And so I think it's like, if you can get someone who is a professional help who does this for a living, but knowing that this is a person who actually genuinely cares about me, who understands my brand, understands who I am, and can give me those opportunities, that will help. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot you can find definitely online. There's people who write a lot about this space, people who now want to enter this space to help others. But you have to know the difference between someone who's just doing it for money or someone who's generally doing it because they want you as a brand to succeed or you as a person to succeed.
If we look outside of sport to the world of entertainment, entertainment is a little bit less structured than sport, right? Yeah. In sport, like, you get faster, you get stronger, you jump higher, you have the path in front of you and a lot of coaches, and you know where to find them. In entertainment, your first role might be your breakout role, it might not, you might go up and down. It's more of a roller coaster, even if you're on the path to success.
So true.
But when you're building a brand, you have to be conscious from step one of how you're going to come across. Mm-hmm. Like, what would your advice be to those young people going into the entertainment industry who've kind of got their first opportunity, but maybe somewhere in the gut, they know that it's not quite on their brand? Like, do they take it and it's okay because it's the start, or do they need to hold tight?
I can't tell someone to turn away money, but I think we know when we see someone who is promoting something online and it's not really what they want to do and it's not really about them. And you want to make sure that people believe you, that you're being authentic, that you're being genuine about yourself. So if you, it will come across regardless of subconsciously or consciously, if you're saying this is the best, you know, whatever soda ever, and then 2 weeks later you're promoting something else who gives you more money, how are they going to trust you and know who you are? So I think you have to genuinely believe in the product, I think. And I think that's the best way to success. I'm not going to tell you not to take opportunities when money comes your way, but the best way to success is just being yourself. It's like, it sounds so cliche, and I'm sure everyone's mother tells them that as well too, but it's the truth. The more that you can really stand on a product, the more you're gonna actually want to promote the product and go out there. And I think sometimes what happens is someone just does a post because I got paid, you can tell it's transactional. And then you don't see them talking about the product ever again. And then, you know, a month or two later, you see them promoting another product or a different one. And it's like, well, how do I know you really like it? So, or you genuinely are a person who's like, oh, this is a skincare product that I actually really use and genuinely believe. And so you got to do the work. And I think that a lot of people don't want to do that. But I think if you don't believe in the product, then you can't get behind it and do it.
A lot of what you're describing is about how you connect with your audience and you build a relationship, often with strangers.
Yes.
One of the ways in which people do that is by sharing elements of who they are personally.
Yeah.
Where do you think that line is between what you need to share of your personal life and what is private?
Yes.
And actually can get you into a bit of hot water if you overshare?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think it's knowing, again, and that's the second part, is like, you have, what's the place, and then also what's the space, and where are you comfortable in that part there to share with people? You don't have to share everything, but the whole point of having a brand is storytelling. So you're saying, what's the stories I want to tell people about? So it doesn't have to be all the things that you do. It can also be, you know, obviously you do your sport or you're an actor, but maybe you're into Lego or something really unique that you want to share about, or maybe you're really into cooking. So share those parts there that, you know, think about where it can be helpful, what message you can give that no one else is talking about, or where are you funny in that space? Like maybe you're, you know, trying to do something, you know, you're trying to learn how to do the splits, you know, like, go follow me on that journey. That's interesting, you know, to talk about. But yeah, I mean, you think you are representing yourself. Remember, how you represent yourself now is also how you want to look back in like 30 years from now and say like, oh, I represented myself well. And knowing that, you know, if you are a great brand telling these great stories, then companies will be interested. If you do things that are a little controversial, everyone doesn't need to know who you're dating all the time or what's going on. You know, that, I think that just gets too much, you know. And I think that you also got to, you know, find lanes that you want to keep in on your messaging, and then sort of stick to those like three or four things that you're really adamant about and talk about that.
We're talking as if kind of everybody has the same opportunities no matter their demographic.
Right.
Certainly, I see differences between the expectations of what girls share and what boys share, and how girls look and how boys look and who's getting judged. And that will also be true at the intersection of other kind of underrepresented groups versus like majority groups. Yeah. Do you see a difference in how different people have to show up depending on who they're seen as representing?
I think it depends. Again, that goes on what's the story that you want to project. So there's been a lot of stories within the NIL space, because the top NIL earners were actually the ones who were actually women at first. And there was like a gymnast from LSU, Louisiana State University, and these basketball twins who were, you know, they're definitely were doing a lot of more, I would say, sexualized imagery that they were projecting, but it's also the projecting confidence, projecting strong women, you know, in these. So there's a lot of positive things as well too that you can take from that. I'm using those two as an example. Neither of them were like the top athlete in their sport, so they had to find an angle that they felt comfortable with to go out to do it. I don't think you need to do that, and I think also too, like, that space is pretty crowded right now, so I don't think you need to do that. And again, the part that makes that limiting is people might not want to hear this, but you're only going to look good and youthful for so long. At a certain point, that's all going
to
go away.
That's why I stick to podcasts.
Exactly. You know, so how do you, you know, you can't, that's something that you can't do long term. And sure, you can make a lot of money and potentially that can make you last longer. But I think, you know, we also see equal amount of success, again, for other women doing other things, you know. So it, you don't have to feel that you have to do those things. I think you also have to be very comfortable doing those things. But I think you have to find, then there is different expectations, you know, there is the extra added pressure of looking good. Even if you are a really strong buff, you know, rugby player, you know, we see with her, she still, you know, Ilana still has a lot of, you know, she has to wear makeup when she's doing public appearances. The men don't have to as much too, but, you know, I think that is going to change. It is changing. We're definitely seeing a shift in that, but it's not quite there yet.
So this has been a whistle-stop tour of gold, but my last question is, what about mental health? Like, we're saying these are all the things you should do, you should treat it like a business, but fundamentally, the product is you.
Yes.
Which can really impact you mentally. Yeah. How do you protect yourself from the outset, prevention being easier than cure,
yeah,
when you're doing this?
And I think this is where having a team or people who can do this work for you or can help you with that, I think that helps, because that becomes a buffer between what you, between you reading those comments. Also remember, anyone who makes comments or does anything online wouldn't do this to your face. So it's like they don't take it personal, and people have extra amount of courage to say all sorts of things.
The keyboard warriors are hiding in basements.
Yes, exactly. You know, and there's been a lot of talk. They say, would you say this to this person? No. And so they're coming, the keyboard warriors are coming with all their, you know, their own insecurities and how they feel, and they're lashing out. So I can't tell you don't take it personal, but also remember, like, focus on the good, because there's a lot of people who are saying great things about you. And again, it's sometimes it's better just not to look at the comments, because it's not worth it, you know. But again, that's why if you have a team in place, they can do that work for you. They can sort of help navigate it and keep monitoring what's going on and decide, like, does this make sense to, you know, for, and they can figure out from the post, was that a good, maybe that wasn't good. We got really bad feedback. We should sort of shift gears and do it differently. And so having people who understand strategy can help you, you know, navigate those weird times.
Strategy is always key. That was nonstop excellent advice from Melanie. It was great to have her on the podcast, and I really think it was one of our most informative episodes yet. If you have any questions, as always, you can get in touch via email, gvo@goodvibesonlytalent.com or @goodvibesonlytalent on social media. Don't forget to go back and check out some of our other fantastic guests. But other than that, until next time, it's bye from me.